Good morning. This message is brought to you by First Baptist Church of Clearfield, located at 111 North 2nd Street. To hear this and other messages, please go to the church website at fbcclearfield.com. Pastor Matt Brown and his congregation invite you to worship the Lord with them Sunday mornings at 10:45. Here's Pastor Matt.
Please turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5 this morning. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. And I know it's not up on the screen, but the title for this sermon is The Power for Godly Living. So we finished up the book of 1 Peter last Sunday, and so what I want to do is just to do a short three-week series in the second half of Galatians 5, and by the time these 3 weeks are over, it'll be apologetics conference time, and then after that, I'll start a brand new book of the Bible. Now, you may be wondering why I started, why I'm having this series in Galatians 5, and it's because in this portion of Scripture, we find the principal way of living the Christian life by the Spirit. And so each of us need to be brought to the truth or reminded of the truth of where we find the power to live the Christian life. And so I've entitled this short little series, Walking by the Spirit. Let me read the passage for you. Galatians 5, verses 16 through 18. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. But the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Let's say that there was a Christian named Nathan. Now, this is not based on anyone I know, just I made up the name for this illustration. But Nathan is a middle-aged man, and he's been a Christian since he was 6 years old. He grew up going to the church. He considers himself a pretty religious person, but Nathan was frustrated. And he wasn't frustrated at his pastor, his spouse, or his friends, or his job. Nathan was frustrated with himself. You see, Nathan just kept giving in to his sinful desires. I'm not talking about just here or there giving in, but if all the time it felt like. He was determined to change, but he can't seem to change. He tried so many things in his own power to stop looking at inappropriate images online. He tried so many things in his own strength to stop angrily saying hurtful things to his wife. He has tried so many tips and tricks. He has tried so many 5 Steps to Victory articles on the internet, but can't seem to find the key to breaking the stronghold of these sins in his life. What has he done wrong? Why can't he seem to have victory? Why is there nothing that seems to be working? Where does he find the power to live a godly life? Have you ever felt like Nathan? You see, Nathan's story is not unlike many in our church, many in churches all across the world, because his story goes right to the heart of the question, how is the Christian life to be lived? What is the power? Where do you find the power to live it? Is it in simply a list of do's and don'ts? Is it by being guilted and shamed into doing it? Is it by rolling up your sleeves and doing it in your own power? Is it done through seeking to gain God's favor through more and more works? Let me ask you, where do you find the power to live a godly life? Do you seek it at all? What do you do when you have those moments where you can kind of feel your sinful desires rising up in you and you want to give in? Right? You feel that desire to get back at someone and you really want to. You feel that desire to say that hurtful word, to give that attitude to your spouse, to look at something that you shouldn't. What do you do when you just feel out of control, like your sinful desires need to be appeased? And what happens is, what do you do when you're discouraged at the amount of times that you have given into the same sin this past week? How can you start to overcome giving in to these desires and to see them have less and less of a stronghold on your life? You see, these questions go right to the heart of what our everyday lives, how we live our lives on a daily basis. And God will teach us through Paul's letter this morning where the power for godly living is found. Now, of course, since we're just kind of plopping into the Galatians 5, into a book of a Bible, we have to understand the context. In Galatians, if you read through Galatians, you know that what Paul is trying to do is he's trying to show his readers the gospel is all about grace. Because what happened is the Galatians were being swayed away by a different gospel. And this different gospel was claiming that you needed to do all of these other things in order to be truly saved. But Paul emphasized, no, only a person is only justified in God's sight through faith in Jesus Christ, not works. So he's talking about no one is made right by obeying the law because Christ rescued us from the curse of the law as he took the curse for us on the cross. And he points out that the reason why we aren't saved by the law is because we couldn't keep it perfectly, right? And so, therefore, the law was there to show us our sin, to show us our need for Jesus. And so that's why Jesus had to come and take on flesh, be born under the law, so that he could free us from the curse of the law, which we were under, because we couldn't keep it perfectly, we broke it, and we were under that curse. But now we are children by faith, whereby we are free. We have received the Spirit. And therefore, if we are children, he talks about how we shouldn't go back to slavery to the law because we're free. Right? We're free from it. And so Paul, at the beginning of Galatians 5, pretty much says, don't try to make yourself right with God by keeping the law. Because when you try to keep when you try to live by the law, you have to keep the whole law. And Paul, as everyone knows, you can't. It's impossible for sinful human beings to do so. And if you go this route, he talks seriously that you have turned away from God's grace, right? Who offers you freedom in Christ. You have turned away from that grace because you're trying to do it on your own by doing these things. And so he wants them to know you have been freed from trying to keep the law, but yet Paul knows what they might be thinking. Okay, I have this freedom in Christ. Does that mean I can just do whatever I want? Does that mean I can have freedom to sin? And Paul says, no, this isn't freedom to sin. This is freedom to love others, to serve others in love. But how can we do this? So how can we live the right way if not by the law? We walk by the Spirit. And that's where a passage comes in. He's showing us this is the prime way that we live holy lives, is by the Spirit. It's not through guilt and shame. It's not through pure effort alone. It's not through trying to keep the Old Testament law. It's through the Spirit. And so as we look at our passage, we see in verse 16 a promise. And this promise is this. Point number one, if you have your handout. The promise is this: when you live by the Spirit, you won't gratify your sinful desires. This promise is when you live by the Spirit, you won't gratify your sinful desires. There's nothing like hearing an exciting promise from someone, but most often we hear it from other people, and they may be exciting promises, but they're not 100% fully backed because something could happen. So maybe the person's untrustworthy, or just the situation, emergency comes up, they can't fulfill their promise, right? But God's promise here is something exciting and grand and glorious, but it's also backed up by the 100% faithful and trustworthy God. When you live by the Spirit, you will not gratify your sinful desires. What good news this is! God is giving us a promise for godly living. You don't have to keep giving in to the same sins day in and day out. You want hope? Here it is. You're tired of giving in to the same sins over and over day. It's over and over again. It seems like every day. Look right to this verse. So maybe you're here today, you're discouraged. God is giving you a promise. And this promise shows us the path and promise to victory over our sinful desires in our lives. And notice that he doesn't say that he hopes this will work against our sinful desires. He doesn't say sometimes this will work against your sinful desires. No, he says you will not gratify. And what in Greek, Paul uses the way of emphasizing the not. It's like he's saying, no, you will not. Right? You will not gratify them. And so in the brightest of days, this is something you can cling to. But even in the hardest of days, this is a promise you can hold dearly for those days when, you know what, I've sinned against someone five times, it's not even 9 in the morning. Right? You ever have those days? I've sinned against someone so many times, it's 8 o'clock in the morning. It can be used for these kind of days as well. And so the power is found, as we find, in the Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit is God, of course. He is part of the Trinity. He indwells every single Christian. In Acts, God pours out the Spirit on those who believe in Christ. Jesus said he would send the Spirit to be with us, to comfort us, lead us to truth, be a helper to us, etc. And so every believer in Jesus receives the Spirit out salvation, but we see here that that a believer can either walk by the Spirit or not. Inherent in the command, if he commands you to do that, means you can either walk by the Spirit or not. So the truth is this, every single Christian, true Christian, has the Spirit. But what can we find in Scripture? We can grieve the Spirit, right? We cannot live according to his power and guidance. And so what we see is that we can grieve him, so the Spirit doesn't just work automatically if we're turning away from him. But we must depend on him. So the Spirit is there, is waiting to be depended and followed on. But oftentimes what happens? We follow our flesh instead. We follow our flesh instead. And so that makes us think about, okay, what is this flesh, right? It's not a very common word that, I mean, we use it for our body sometimes, but not in the way that Paul uses it. What does this mean? Flesh. Well, the New Testament authors, they use it in different ways depending on their context. But for Paul here, he's not just talking about your physical body. The body, as we know, isn't sinful in itself. God created the body good, right? Before sin ever came in the world, God created man and woman. And so Paul is thinking deeper here. The flesh essentially means our fallen humanity. It's corrupted by sin. It's think about that sinful aspect of you that has these sinful desires that rise up. You need to see, our flesh is all about self. It's all about self, where it says, I can do it myself, right? I want that. I'm going to do it in a sinful way. And that's really our flesh. And so our flesh is always seeking satisfaction in things apart from God. So the flesh says, I can earn God's favor by doing more works. I can do it. The flesh says, I want to be in control, so I'm going to lie about this. So the flesh wants something and tries to get it done by itself or in a sinful way. So you can see the flesh thinks it's king. The flesh wants something, so it tries everything in its power to get it. It wants something, so its solution is to look inward and try to be satisfied by things other than God, right? And so that's the flesh. And so what we see here Paul is doing, he's making the great distinction between the Holy Spirit and our flesh. That is kind of like our sinful nature and the Holy Spirit. And so God promises this path of victory. He shows us where the power is found. It's in the Spirit, through the Spirit. So it reminds us, as Christians, we don't have to have a losing mentality. God promises a way to fight off and not give in to sinful desires that rise up in us. Walking by the Spirit. Simple, right? Simple. Maybe you're thinking, okay, I just need to walk by the Spirit. I can do that. And you're thinking, wait, what exactly does that look like, right? I mean, we like to throw around phrases and we grasp that, need to walk by the Spirit. what does that actually look like? Right? It's one thing to know I need to walk by the Spirit, but it needs to be helpful so that you understand, what does that look like? How do we walk by the Spirit? What do we do? Well, in the Bible, walk points to how you live, your conduct, your habitual way of life, your behavior. And so really you could say, live your life by the Spirit. Paul talks a little bit later, he says, so the same thing, but he says it'll be led by the Spirit, walking in step with the Spirit. And so this walking by the Spirit involves a habitual lifestyle of following the Spirit. So meaning it's not just, I took one step, look, I'm walking by the Spirit, right? No, that's one step, right? Walking is involved here, being led, keeping in step. It's a whole life characterized as walking by the Spirit. It's persistent, it's active following. And so to walk by the Spirit, we see you need to walk. You need to live your way, life a certain way. So you need to get off your figurative couch and walk. But this isn't aimlessly strolling around, right? We follow a leader, the Spirit. And so what this means is that walking by the Spirit means the Spirit is setting the direction, the course, the pace, not you. You're to be walking by the Spirit. So that you think about the opposite, sometimes helpful to think about the opposite would be, of course, walking by the flesh. So that would be, I'm going to let my sinful desires control me. My sinful desires guide me. So kind of like, I want to get even, so I will. I want to make them feel bad, so I'm just going to say it. But when you walk by the Spirit, you aren't walking by those feelings and those thoughts and those desires or by other people's. You're living by the power and guidance and influence of the Spirit. Once again, you may be wondering, yes, I want this. I want to walk by the Spirit. I want to be led by the Spirit. I want to follow His lead, but how, right? Maybe it's starting to make a little bit of sense, but how practically? Well, once again, we look back to Galatians, the context. In Galatians 3, Paul brings out the fact that when they were saved, they received the Spirit by simply hearing with faith. Right? And so he brings out, hey, you receive the Spirit hearing with faith. So hearing the word with faith, the gospel with faith. And he makes the point that the Christian life isn't just started by the Spirit and then perfected by the flesh, but it's started by the Spirit and then perfected by the Spirit's power, meaning continues in the Spirit's power. And this, he says, is when you hear with faith. You see what he's doing there? What he's showing us is that the point is walking by the Spirit, a big part is believing God's word in faith. Right? And so when we turn to Christ for salvation, we believe the gospel in faith, we are saved. And so Paul is now saying, even the life, once you're saved, is believing His word in faith, the Spirit then growing you and helping you to grow to be more like Christ. So it's faith, it's dependence on Him, trusting His word. So when something in you rises up in impatience, you say, God, help me. You promised to be with me. You're in control of this situation, so I trust you. That's a part of walking by the Spirit. I know your word. I'm going to cling to your word. I'm going to trust it in this moment. It's sort of like arranging your lives around the Spirit, what He wants, because we see you're living by the Spirit, right? Living by the Spirit's guidance and power and influence and direction. You're living by Him. And so your whole life is then arranged around the Spirit. And so you're asking questions like, what does He say in His word? Where is He leading me right now? What is pleasing to God? And so you always ask God for, I need wisdom, I need direction. How should I respond to everything I experience in life? So let's say you're about to have a difficult conversation with someone. What do you do? Do you ever ask God for wisdom? How can I respond in a godly way? Lord, I have these emotions of frustration and anger, but Lord, help me to respond in the way that I should. That's a part of walking by the Spirit, is Lord, Spirit, help me to respond well. When you begin your day, you're asking the Spirit to help you not to lash out at someone, at your coworker, at your kids, your wife, whoever it is. Maybe you're walking into a store and you ask, Lord, Spirit, allow me to interact with someone with the truth of God's Word. What about this? When you sin, are you walking by the Spirit? Meaning this, when you sin, do you allow the Spirit to convict you to repent? Do you allow the Spirit to convict you to go to that person and apologize? That's walking by the Spirit too. When you sense God leading you to pray, give, serve, humbly step out in faith, then you follow His lead. Let's say the Spirit places someone on your heart. Right? You respond accordingly. And the truth is, what we see is that this isn't some super dramatic thing whereby we hear this audible voice. This is a simple, moment-by-moment guidance of the Spirit, everyday guidance. And it's important to know the Spirit will never contradict the Word of God. The Spirit will never contradict the Word of God. It will perfectly align with it. He will perfectly align with it. What is the Spirit called? He is the Spirit of truth. Think about the Bible itself. It was inspired by the Spirit. You really think He's going to go against His own Word, the own Word, God's own Word? Of course not. He's God and is perfect. It is His Word. So walking by the Spirit is depending on Him, His working, His power, His guidance. We see in Romans 8:5 that Paul says, those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Right? So it means my mind is focused on what the Spirit values. Meaning, what does God say? What does God want? How does God view this? What does God value? You see, you can't expect to walk by the Spirit if your mind is on the world, if your mind is on these sinful desires. Right? You can't expect to walk by the Spirit if you're filling your mind with not good things on TV or online or whatever it may be. If you're filling your mind with those things, you need to be filling it with the truth of God's Word. Our minds are set on the things of the Spirit. Filling your mind with it in connection with God in prayer and above all, trusting Him. Paul says, a life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. So the Christian life, it takes faith to be saved, but also it's just faith as we walk through our lives. Right? We're trusting Him, submitting to Him, yielding to Him and what He desires. So when when He's pricking your heart, you know this is wrong, stay away from it. Then you stay away from it. You know, when He's guiding you to pray that for that person. Do it. I like this one statement someone said one time, is the flesh will never push you to pray. The flesh will never push you to pray. But the Spirit pushes you to pray. If all of a sudden you're just really, I feel like I really need to pray for this person in our church, this person. Pray for them. Spirit is guiding you. Pray for them. Maybe they need something that day. Pray for them. God uses those things, His Spirit, to work in our hearts. When He says, slow down, we slow down. When He says, go this way, we go that way. When He puts it on your heart to help someone, help them. So walking by the Spirit means I'm reaching out to Him in prayer. I'm reading the Scriptures. I'm living by faith. I'm submitting and obeying Him. And in each of these things, really, what do you notice? They're all, my mind is set on the things of the Spirit. My mind is set on God. I'm connected to God in faith and prayer. I'm being filled with truth. I'm trying to live it out in obedience and submission. That's the way. And so what you're doing is you're not living by your wisdom, right? You're going back to the Word. You're not living by your own power. You're relying on God. You're guided and empowered by the Spirit, who's like this main power, and we're simply like the rail car who's attached to him, and we're following his lead. But we must walk by it. Submit to his control, and if you do, he won't outrun you, but he will lead you as you walk. And what's the result? You will not gratify the desires of your flesh. You see, each of us has these sinful desires that rise up in us. Because you feel that desire to get back at someone, to say that hurtful word, or to do something else. And these arise because of our flesh. Right? You have God promises that if we walk by the Spirit, we won't gratify these sinful desires. The word used here is you won't carry out these desires, right? You may feel them, but then you won't carry them out. You won't give in to them. I don't know about you, but have you ever had those times where you're focused on what God's word, you're focused on what God wants, you're in his word, you're praying, and a temptation arises, and you don't give in. You don't give in. And this is because at that moment, you are walking by the Spirit, and therefore you won't gratify that desire. Walking by the Spirit blocked you from giving in to it. It wasn't in your own power. It was through the Spirit's power that you utilized by walking in step with him. And so this is an amazing promise. This is an amazing promise. And it shows us this. A nominal, lackadaisical, Sunday-only Christianity does not produce godly Christians. Because if your faith consists of just coming to church once in a while because you said a prayer one time, because you just feel like you need to, that's not going to do it. If your faith consists of coming every Sunday, but throughout the week, I mean, you rarely think about God or his word, you think, you know, throughout the week, that's not going to prepare you for the onslaught of sinful desires that rise up through you in you throughout the week. The Christian life is a life of faith, a seven-day thing every week, a life of faith and trust and submission and dwelling on his word and prayer and service. That's what's going to grow you, because every day you're walking by the Spirit. It's not just on Sundays. It's every day I'm walking by the Spirit, or at least trying to. And these desires will have less and less of a hold on you. Now, people wonder why they, I don't know, there's different reasons, but people wonder why they are embattled by grievous sins, and yet they neglect to look at their spiritual life, the health of their spiritual life. They think they're doing their duty by merely going to church, and that's good. This is where you can hear God's word, but it takes an everyday thing where we're trusting God, we're looking to him, we're being in his word. Of living by the Spirit. It takes a consistent, habitual life governed by the Spirit. And so what we see here, it's no quick fix. You don't snap your fingers and it's over. This isn't four steps to overcoming. This is lifelong steps of walking by the Spirit. Follow his leading. And so what we see here is walk by the Spirit. You will not gratify the desires of your flesh. That is the grand promise. But what's the reason he can say this? Letter A, the Spirit and the flesh want opposite things. They want opposite things. What happens when you and another person want opposite things? When there's a standstill and neither one is going to budge, what happens? Now, it all depends on the relational dynamics, right? Is this your spouse? Is this your boss? Is this your friend? Is it a random person? That makes a difference. But what happens when nations want opposing things and they won't budge? And sometimes it ends up in a battle, in a war. This is because they want opposing things and neither is going to budge or move an inch. What did you know as a Christian? You have a battle raging inside of you. It's true, because we see here the Spirit and the flesh want opposing things. The truth is, when we become Christians, we don't instantly have this sinless life where we live in perfection and never sin again. But But rather, we have this battle raging within us where we have these still have these sinful desires that rise up within us. Right? So we're free from the power of sin, but not the complete presence of sin this side of heaven. And so this means if you're a new Christian, you need a passage like this. But also, if you've been a Christian for 80 years, you still need a passage like this. Because until Christ comes or you die, this is the situation we are in. We have the spirit and the flesh battling each other out. But as we found, the spirit, if we walk by him, wins out. So if there's a struggle against sin, and that's important, if there is a struggle against sin in your life, that is not a sign that you aren't a Christian, but rather it's a sign that you are. And it was key that I said struggle against sin. So I don't mean just the fact that you're giving in to sin all the time, but the fact that you are fighting in sin. When you have this desire to give in to your sinful desires, you have something that's saying, no, this is wrong. This is against God. Right? That's the battle against sin. So if you have that, that is a sign that you are, not that you aren't a Christian. So this means that is a sign that you have the Spirit if you have a battle with sin. And if it all comes easily for you, meaning you don't find yourself in a battle against sin really too much and you're just kind of giving into it, then that is a sign that you don't have the Spirit or you have quenched the Spirit. Because we can quench the spirit. And so these opposing desires, spirit and flesh desires, are the reason why Paul can make his promise about walking in the spirit. Because think about it this way. Since the spirit's desires are contrary to the flesh's desires, then if you're walking by the spirit, you're not going to give in to those fleshly desires because the spirit's desires always oppose the flesh's desires. So this is good news because it means that the Spirit will never lead you to gratify sinful desires. Because it opposes those. It will never give in to those. The Spirit is God. The Spirit doesn't push you to do anything sinful. The Spirit will never lead you to sin, but to godliness. So get this. This means no one can say, the Spirit led me to say those things behind your back. No one can say, the Spirit led me to leave my wife. No one can say, the Spirit led me to just stop going to church altogether. It's impossible. The Spirit doesn't give you fleshly desires. It opposes them. They're against the flesh. And so the Spirit will never lead you to do something wrong. So if we do something wrong, what are we doing? We're following the flesh. We're walking by the flesh. They oppose each other. They're never going to give in to the other side. They're never going to lead you to do the opposite. And so what Paul is showing us, that there's two ways to live. You can either walk by the Spirit or walk by the flesh. What are you going to let control you? What are you going to let guide and lead your life? And so what we see is inherent in this battle is that it teaches us two things. It teaches us first, that no Christian is incapable of seeing victories. It teaches us no Christian is incapable of seeing victories. So if you're a Christian, defeat doesn't have to be written over you when it comes to your battle against certain sins. You don't need to despair. You don't need to give in because, hey, I just can't help it. You don't need to give in and think that you can never beat this specific sin. Because you have a powerful method of fighting sin. And it's not found in yourself, but it is found within you in the Spirit who resides in you. And so depend on him every day. Now, call out to him. In those moments, call out to him and say, Lord, I can't do this in my own power. I need you. Lord, I keep giving in to this sin, but you have promised power to overcome through your Spirit. So help me now to walk by your Spirit as I go through this day. And so don't lose heart, dear Christian, for when you walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And someday we have a promise that God will complete what he started in us. And so I'm not saying that you won't be tempted, right? We all have still sinful desires that rise up, right? I'm not saying that from time to time you won't give in, because we're still sinners and we fall at times. But I'm saying if there's a specific sin that you keep giving into regularly, the Spirit can work in you so that over time you don't give in to it as much, and you're going to start to see victory in that sin. Where it doesn't have this overcoming, where it's like every single day, but there's less and less of a hold. So we see no Christian is incapable of seeing victories, because God promises that the Spirit opposes the flesh. And so we walk by the Spirit. But also this battle teaches us also that no Christian is above experiencing a battle with sin. No matter how mature they are, how godly they are, no Christian is above experiencing a battle with sin. So no Christian can or should ever get to the place, this side of heaven, of course, where they feel like, man, I have arrived in my Christian life, I have experienced a sinless perfection. We may have been freed from the power of sin, but not the present. And so don't act like, man, I got this, I don't struggle anymore. For that's the moment, what? When your fleshly desire is rising up in you, and it will humble you. It will humble you. It will show its ugly head and humble you. And so this should humble us. And this is actually a good thing, because what? It's pushing us to depend on the Spirit even more. So guess what that means, brother or sister in Christ? Mature Christians are not above this battle. They face it every day. Even the most godly Christian that you know faces this battle. We all feel sinful desires rise up, but the question is, are we going to gratify them? Are we going to carry them out or not? Are we going to carry them out and live by the flesh, or not carry them out, not gratify them by living by the Spirit? And so this is encouraging, because it means every Christian faces this battle, and so it means don't be afraid to admit that you struggle. Don't be afraid to admit that you struggle with sin, because we all do. Right? We have this battle in us. We're struggling against sin because the Spirit is opposing the flesh's desires, and so don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to reach out to someone for help. It's like, I need your help. Right? We have to humble ourselves to do that and admit that I'm struggling. I'm really struggling. I need help. And I use encouragement from others to then help you, to push you to walk by the Spirit. So don't be afraid to admit that you have sinful desires. Seek the help of others who can help you. But moving on to verse 18, Paul sort of summarizes what he's saying, and is this, letter B. The summary is this: we live godly lives by the Spirit, not the law. He says, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So the Galatians had these false teachers who kept insisting on keeping the law as a Christian. And Paul is refuting them and showing them that, no, the power to obey isn't in obeying the law, but actually it's in being led by the Spirit. And Paul points out that the reason is because, think of the law, think of just a list, let's just say a list of do's and don'ts, that would sort of reflect the law. Well, what do? They're saying, obey this. This is what's right and wrong, and so we need that, of course. But they're saying, obey this, but what is it lacking? It's not giving you the power to obey it. It's telling you to obey it, but it's not giving you the power. And that's what Paul keeps pointing out. It's not giving you the power to obey it. It's revealing things about God. Amen. We follow what's right and wrong. But the Spirit gives you power to obey. It's the Spirit who helps you fulfill what the law was actually saying to do. We see this in Ezekiel 36. God promises this about the new covenant age, which we're in. He says, I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. So in the Old Testament, Israel, they kept disobeying the law, rejecting God, rebelling, and yet God promised that, hey, I'm going to send my Spirit. It's going to be given to each, and He's going to cause them to live godly lives. He's going to cause them to live the way that, God wants. And so Paul's point is that you're not under the law in the sense of living according to your own power. Right? And so living by the law is just living by your own power because you have this list. Okay, I have to do this. But really, the Spirit is the one who empowers you to do what it was pointing to. And so we now, in the Spirit, we have the power to obey. Because the flesh doesn't give you power to change. It's not connected to God's power. The law doesn't give you power to do what's right. It's just telling you fall short. The power comes from the Spirit. You see, living a godly life is supernatural because you need God to work in you. What does Philippians say? God works in us to will and work for His good pleasure. And so we can see victories over sinful desires that rise up when we live by the power of the Spirit. So being under the law says, if only I could learn the word, if only I could learn the rules, I can keep them. Right? The law says, if I can learn the rules, I can keep them. The law says, if only I could keep them, I could be made right with God. But doing the law doesn't make us right with God. Rather, when we become right with God through faith in Jesus, we receive the Spirit who helps us to live out the righteousness of the law in fulfillment of it, to love God, love others. Right? And so we're saved through faith, and then the Spirit helps us to live out loving God and loving others. So what this means is that when you live by the Spirit, you actually don't need to be governed by God's law because you will be doing what God wants already. The Spirit leads you to do what God wants. The Ezekiel passage shows us the Spirit would cause us to walk in His statutes, so that we're governed by the Spirit to do what He wants. And so let's get down to the truth. What does this teach us? It shows us that spiritual growth cannot be done through mere human effort alone. Spiritual growth cannot be done through mere human effort alone, but through the Spirit's power. So you can't think, I just need to know what God desires more, and I'll roll up my sleeves and I'll work at it. That's not going to do it. That's like you're living in under the law in your own power because you're thinking, it's all on me. I can do it in my power. As long as I know the right things, I can do it. But no, the Spirit comes in us. We depend on Him, and He empowers us and helps us to live godly lives. And so the big point for this morning is this. So what Paul is teaching us is that the power for living a godly life is found in being led by the Spirit. Being led by the Spirit. Because without the Spirit's power, you can strive your best to change, but to no avail. You can try to live in your own strength and fail time and time again, and you're going to be discouraged. So the power to change, the power to live a godly life, is found in the Spirit, being led and empowered by Him. So as you go through this week, what are you going to let control you? Your sinful desires or the Spirit? Who's going to be your leader? Yourself, your feelings, your emotions, your thoughts, or the Spirit of truth? Where are you going to look for the strength? Yourself or God? So I want you, as you go through this week, and you know, to be honest, this sermon is one of the ones that has most impacted my life on an everyday basis. Right? And so as I thought about it, it's like, as you go through this week, I want you to think about this. I need to walk by the Spirit. As you go through every day, the rest of this week, the end of today, keep thinking this. I need to walk by the Spirit. See the difference it can make. I need to walk by the Spirit. As you begin each day, talk to God and say, Lord, I keep sinning against You. Right, I thank you for your forgiveness in Jesus. Please help me, Lord, to not lash out at my wife or my coworker. Help me not to do that, whatever it may be in your life that you're struggling with. Then say, I need you to work. I can't do it in my own power. I need you. Show me how to respond when I start to become frustrated. Please let me walk by your Spirit today. Plead out to God. And as you go throughout your day, keep thinking on these things, praying to God, guide me, Lord. When you can tell those moments where you are usually frustrated, when you usually sin, those moments, use those times to quickly pray, help me, Lord, to walk by your Spirit. And then think about the difference as you went throughout your day. You kept thinking, I need to walk by the Spirit. I need to depend on him. I need his help to help me in these battles against sin. Keep thinking these thoughts. Keep depending. Keep trusting. Use these times throughout the day to think on his word. Remember his word. Speak the truth in love. Remember what he calls us to, patience and gentleness, loving, being loving and kind. Remember how Christ showed it on the cross. So as you go through your day, follow his leading. Right? God, what do you want me to do today? God, help me as I interact with this person. It's going to be tense, but help me to live, respond in a godly way. Depend on him. Trust him, not your sinful desires. Because our default mode is to just reflect back, or go sit back on our sinful desires and just let us go however we want. Oh, I want that. I'm going to get it. Oh, I feel like lashing out. I'm going to do it. And so that's our default mode. Don't let it be that. Let me walk by the Spirit. Keep praying that. Keep praying that. Walk by the Spirit. Trust his power, not yours. That's the key. I need to trust him. It's not going to be in my mere strength. Of course, now I need to obey and I need to do that. I need to live my life, but I also need to be trusting for his power to do it. And so the truth is this. The best situation to be in to fight your sinful desires is not to get lackadaisical in your spiritual life. That's not going to prepare you. It's not to roll up your sleeves in self-dependence. That's not going to do it. You're going to fail. The best posture is to be in the posture where you say, God, show me the way. Give me the strength. I need you. I trust you. I follow you. And so as you go, moment by moment, follow and walk by the Spirit. Be led by him. So let's all strive to walk by the Spirit this week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you once again and we reflect upon your word that we just heard and just pray that you'd help us as we each have our own struggles with sin, struggles against sin. And I just pray that you'd help us. Pray that we would walk by your Spirit. Pray that your Spirit will work even now to convict or encourage or challenge whatever needs to be done in each Christian's life, that you would work, that you would guide them, and that they would follow you, be led by you, moment by moment, so that they don't give in to the sinful desires that we all have, that we all struggle and fight against. Help us each, as we go through this week, to remember that we need to walk by the Spirit. In Christ's name, amen.